We'll plan to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. Now, if you will, let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And looking at the first five verses. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure hard afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Title of my message today is A Solemn Charge. A Solemn Charge. You notice the Apostle Paul charges Timothy. And he charges him before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Preach the word. Before we look at the charge, let's notice what is said here about the Lord Jesus Christ. At his appearing refers to his second coming. And at his second coming, the apostle tells us that he shall judge the quick and the dead. No one should doubt his appearing, his second coming, for he appeared the first time as the scriptures had foretold, as God had declared and promised. He came the first time. No one should doubt or question his second appearing. All through the Old Testament scriptures, God had declared that he was coming, the Messiah was coming, the son of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent. And he came in the fullness of the time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman. If you look over just a few pages in Hebrews, go towards the end of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, and look at these verses here. Just as he came the first time, so he shall come the second time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 24 through 28, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." The Lord Jesus Christ is not entered into a tabernacle or temple that was made and set up here upon the earth as the high priest of old did, but he has entered, those were figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, that is, that old dispensation, the Jewish economy, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared. And he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He didn't appear to teach men how that we could put away our sins, or how the church could put away our sins, or how any other man or priest could put away our sins, but he appeared once in the end of the world to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. Now notice, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment," at his appearing, his second coming, "he shall judge both the quick and the dead. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He came the first time in reference to sin, to put away the sins of his people. But when he comes a second time, It's not going to be in reference to sin. He's coming then, as our text tells us, to judge the quick and the dead. Now, what does that mean, the quick and the dead? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, there shall be men and women alive upon the face of his earth. They are quick. They are alive. The dead shall be raised when he appears. So he's coming again, and at his coming and his kingdom, when his kingdom shall be made manifest, he's already King of Kings. He's already entered into his kingdom, but it's not visible. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But when he comes the second time, the next time, it will not be in reference to sin, but he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, those who are alive when he comes again, and those who shall be raised, the dead, those who've already died, shall be raised. And we all, as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now the solemn charge. Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Now understand that this charge pertains to all men that God puts into the ministry, all men that the Lord Jesus Christ gives unto his church as gifts, pastors and teachers. This charge applies to me, and it applies to every man that God puts into the ministry. I charge thee, preach the word. Now let's look at this morning. I pray that God will bless the message to all of us. First, what word is to be preached? Preach the word. But what word is to be preached? Well, there can be no doubt, no question in any of our minds that by the word is meant the scriptures which were given by inspiration of God. Remember now, the New Testament as well as the Old Testament was divided into verses and chapters. But when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, and he charges him here to preach the word, naturally it would refer back to the word which we read in verse 16 of chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is the word of God which is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. Notice that in verse 16 of chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And above that, he had told Timothy in verse 15 that he had from a child known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the word which we are to preach is the inspired word of God. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the inspired word, the word which was given by inspiration of God. Preach God's word. Preach God's word. When the Apostle Paul, this is recorded in Acts chapter 20, when he appeared to the elders of the church at Ephesus for the last time in this world, part of what he told them, I'll read to us. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So, Timothy, preach the word. Now, here are some truths that I thought about this past week as I prepared this message, as I see this to myself as a solemn charge, preach the word. Here are five things. Number one, if I preach the word, I will be declaring the truth about Christ. I'm charged, and every other preacher is charged to preach the word. Very solemn word before God, Almighty God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This charge comes, preach the word. And if I preach the word, I will be declaring the truth about Christ. And I know this is so because he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here in this world in the flesh, speaking to some Jewish people one day, he said this about the scriptures, about the word. He said, search the scriptures. Now listen, for they are they which testify of me. If I'm preaching the word, as I'm charged to do, I know that I'm going to be preaching about Christ, because the scripture tells us that he must have the preeminence in all things. That's what Paul told the church at Colossae, that Christ, that God has determined, my friends, that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he have the preeminence in all things. Well, part of the all things is the word of God, is the Bible. He has the preeminence. And if I'm preaching the word, I'm going to be preaching about Christ. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 just a few minutes ago when Paul told the believers there, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All of the benefits, and I know most of you know this who are here today, but just in case there's someone here who doesn't, let me remind us that all of the benefits, all of the blessings that God has for sinful men and women, they're all stored up in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings, all the benefits that God has for sinful men and women, where are they to be found? They're all found in his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle said, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God. The promise of eternal life, the promise of our sins being forgiven, being pardoned, the promise of being adopted into the family of God, the promise of enjoying God throughout all eternity in heaven. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. If I'm preaching the word, number one, I'm going to be preaching about Christ. Number two, if I preach the word, I will declare the truth about God and his sovereignty. Who he is. I'm not here to represent, I'm not here to present some wannabe God. If I'm preaching the word of God, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to declare the truth about the sovereignty of God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the triune God who knows the end from the beginning. That's what James tells us in Acts chapter 15. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He's sovereign. He rules. He reigns over all things at all times and all places. The prophet Isaiah said this about God. He said, he sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Man, mighty man, who thinks he's so great, so big. I tell you what God thinks about him. He's like a grasshopper. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, that is God, who reigns and rules everywhere at all times. The inhabitants of the earth thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. At our house, in our bedroom, we have some curtains, and sometimes I go in there and I pull them open so I can look out into the backyard, and I always think, just as easier, and I can pull those curtains back so the Lord has stretched out the heavens. By the word of his power, he has created all things. And all men and women, we live, we move, we have our being in him. He's sovereign. The psalmist David said, he's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Nebuchadnezzar, he learned, God taught him that no one can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? If I preach the word, I'm going to be preaching that God is absolutely sovereign in all. Sovereign in creation. He could create or not create. He was free. He was happy. He was perfect. He was complete. He was whole in himself. He needs nothing. According to his own pleasure, he created, and he's sovereign in providence. He reigns and rules. And yes, my friends, he's sovereign in salvation. He saves whom he will, and whom he will, he hardens. The Apostle Paul said this about him in Ephesians 1, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things. Number three, if I preach the word, I will be declaring the truth about man's responsibility. Yes, God is absolutely sovereign, and I must declare that, but at the same time, I must tell men and women, we all are responsible before God. All men are responsible to God concerning our relationship with him. Lord Jesus told those unbelieving Jews, search the scriptures. Were they not spiritually dead when he said that to them? Of course they were. They had no life, and yet he told them, you do this. You search the scriptures. And I tell you, living in this country, every one of us and everyone around us, we all have the money, have the opportunity to buy a Bible for $1 or $2, and we have the responsibility to search the Word of God and find out the truth about God. That's our responsibility. We have the responsibility to repent, because the Scripture says he hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. And we have the responsibility to believe, to trust in Christ. There is no salvation apart from Christ. And God's not going to believe for us. He's not going to repent for us. We have the responsibility. And if we go to hell, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And if we go to heaven, we have no one to praise but God. You say, well, how do you explain that? I don't try to explain it. I'm to preach the word. And the word of God declares in no uncertain terms that God is absolutely sovereign, and yet man is absolutely responsible to God. Number four, if I preach the word, I must warn men. The Lord Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Salvation is more than lip service. Salvation is a heart work. The apostle said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe in thine heart. I must warn men and women if I preach the word of God. There's judgment coming. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And I tell you one thing, I don't want to have the blood of the souls of men and women on my hands. Men and women that I've preached to, I want to declare just as clear as possible every time I can, yes, there's salvation in Christ, and you must flee to him. You must run to him by the mercy and grace of God. Embrace him. And salvation is more than just having your name on a church roll. Salvation is a heart work. It's a new heart that is given unto us, a heart that fears God. Not a slavish fear, no, no. Oh, he's too good. He's too kind to be afraid of him once you know him. But oh, there's a reverential fear. He's so holy. He's so high. He's so much above us. To reverence him, yes. To be afraid of offending him. Be afraid of sinning against such a kind and good and loving Heavenly Father. I must warn. And when I'm warning you, I'm warning myself. And number five, if I preach the word, I must comfort God's people. That's a pretty big job, let me tell you. That's a pretty big job that the Lord's given me. Paul said, if any man desire the work of a bishop, of a preacher, he desireth a good work. It's not only a good work, it's a difficult work. I must comfort God's people. Because you see, God's people, all of us here today who are saved, we are compared in the Word of God to a bruised reed. One of those reeds that just grows up there in the marshland, and someone's come by and stepped on it and bruised it, and it's kind of bent over, and we're compared to a smoking flax. God's children. We have so many doubts and so many fears. So much trouble as we go through this world. We've got the old man that's still with us who continually is suggesting doubts and fears and sin. We've got Satan against us who's got those fiery darts he's casting at us. Have you ever, believer, child of God, have you ever been down to pray and some awful thought just come into your mind, some blasphemous thought? Where do you think that comes from? And we all live here in Vanity Fair, the world, with all its allurements and all of its golden trinkets to attract us and cause us to turn back. I must comfort God's people. What you are going through is not new. It's not something, no temptation has taken you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I must comfort God's people because God said, comfort ye, my people. Tell them their warfare is ended. Salvation is a finished thing, isn't it? We still are experiencing it. I understand that as we go through this world. But as we sang just a few moments ago, living for me. Christ is there living for us, praying for us, interceding for us, and in him who is our head. If you just think of the church of believers, the true church of God, we're all members of his body. And where my head goes, the rest of me goes, right? And he's there in heaven. He's our head. And we too are seated in the heavenly places in him. That's a mystery in itself. Comfort ye, my people. Now, here's the second thing. Why is the word to be preached? The word is to be preached because God commands it. God commands it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believeth not shall be damned. But go and preach the gospel. Why must we preach the word of God? Because God commands it. Number two, the word is to be preached because, as we read just a moment ago here, it is the word of God that is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The word of God itself is not salvation. A man might memorize this whole book. He might have it up here in his head and still go to hell. The message of the book is Christ. In Him, there's life, eternal life. The Scriptures are able to make a man wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ. That's the reason the Scripture must be preached. And the Scripture must be preached, the Word must be preached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you want to be saved? You say, I have a desire to be saved. Then be where the Word of God is preached. I'd say, first of all, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just can't believe. Well, then be where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is proclaimed. Because faith cometh. You don't have any faith naturally, but God gives faith, and He gives faith as we are hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching. That's what the world would say about what I'm doing here today. Oh, that's foolish. That's foolish. We've got to do something. We've got to have some ceremonies here. We've got to burn some candles. We've got to have some incense. Whatever. No. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And number four, the Word is to be preached because it contains all the promises of God, all the promises that God has for His children, and we need these promises to live upon. Preach the Word. The third thing, when is the word to be preached? Well, the apostle charges to do so in season and out of season. This is to be the man's constant work that God puts into the ministry. As John Gill said, always and wholly in it, either preparing for it or performing it or doing those things annexed to it. I heard someone say one time that there are seasons for hunting certain animals. There's deer season, I guess there's duck season, whatever, turkey season. And you can only hunt for those animals during that particular time. You can't hunt for them out of season. But my friends, all season, all the year long, it's a season for hunting for God's elect. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And Paul warned Timothy that the time would come. And I want you to see this. It's very, very important. The time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now notice this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Do you see that? Men turn away from the truth and they are turned unto fables. That's a serious thing to turn away from the Word of God. Look back in 2 Thessalonians, just a few pages back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here the apostle is speaking about the man of sin. But notice, beginning with verse 9, The man of sin, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now notice this, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Turn away from hearing the word of God, and then they are turned unto fables. Here's a man, here's a woman, here's a boy, here's a girl who goes out into eternity believing in a fable, trusting in some foolishness that's man-made. Oh, your faith, my friends, it must be in Christ and must be built upon the Word of God. Preach the Word. And here's the last thing. How is the preacher of the Word to conduct himself? Verse 5, watch, but watch thou in all things. The word watch reminds me that God's people are sheep. And one part of the shepherd's work was to watch out for the sheep's enemies. And this entailed long hours and constant diligence, watching, because the sheep have many enemies. David was a keeper of sheep, you remember? One time a lion came, one time a bear came, and he had to rescue those sheep. The constant charge of a pastor, watch therefore in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Preach the word, a solemn charge. May the Lord bless his word to us here today. I want us to sing this hymn, number 103. Preach the word.